One more snap. Handoff on the ground. A rush of 6 yards by Jackson up near the 35, upended to the 39-yard line, and that should do it. The final 7 seconds will drip off the clock once they put the ball down and move the chains. And for the first time since 2008, your Kansas Jayhawks are bowl eligible. The final score, Kansas 37, Oklahoma State 16. You can rock. Chalk it up. The Jayhawks win. Win number 6 for Kansas.
What an exciting Saturday for Brian Haney and the Kansas Jayhawks broadcast crew there to see the Jayhawks get bowl bound again. We're joined by Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. And obviously, it's football, it's basketball, it's volleyball, you know, men's and women's basketball season. So, you know, not a lot going on for you right now, Brian, but I'm sure you keep them busy, right?
Man, this is a grind season. We're always in November when the two sports cross over, at least the two sports that I do. But yes, women's basketball too, and a lot of other stuff. And seems like we've got something about every single night. But when your programs are winning, like the Jayhawks have been in all arenas lately, it's certainly an awesome time, and you're kind of running on adrenaline one victorious night to the next. So, hoping to keep this magic coming on Saturday in Lubbock, but obviously we got a hoops game tonight with NDSU first, so a lot brewing here in the River City, that's for sure.
Yeah, we'll talk about KU basketball coming up, their opener against Omaha, and then, like you said, they're taking on North Dakota State tonight, and also signed 3 new players to letters of intent yesterday, so I'll get your thoughts on them. But first, let's talk KU football, because bowl eligible for the first time since 2008, and what a big deal that is. You know, the season started at 5-0, and you knew the schedule was going to be tough in the Big 12, and some of these teams were going to be able to, you're probably confident that the team wasn't going to go 12-0 right in the regular season, but they lost 3 in a row, but got the ship righted with a very impressive 37-16 win over Oklahoma State on Saturday. Just what does it mean for this program under Lance Leipold to be bowl eligible? And also want to chat a little bit about Devin Neal. What an outstanding game he had on Saturday with 224 rushing and a touchdown and 110 receiving. First ever in school history with 200 plus rushing and 100 plus receiving in a single game. It was an exciting day there in Lawrence on Saturday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. It was amazing to see Devin have that type of day. And you know, the initial credit goes to the offensive line. He had better running lanes to push through than we'd seen in recent weeks. But he looked like he had more burst. He was just a little more explosive coming off the bye, which is often the case with guys when you have a bye that late in the season. It's been 2 months since they've had a chance to heal up some of those nagging bumps and bruises. And so he was a guy that I really think benefited from the week off in between. And so obviously a player that had been getting carry totals in the low to mid-teens erupts for a 32-touch day just on carries alone. And while that's not the number you're going to normally see from him, he had been asking for a little bit more of a load. And sometimes the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and he ended up getting his wish. And, boy, they fed him early and often, and he paid him back in big dividends. The explosive plays were so exciting to watch. A 31-yard touchdown to start the scoring, had a 53-yard catch and run later in the fourth quarter. Just a lot to be proud of with the kid we call Real Deal Devin Neal. And I think that probably, you know, vaults him into second-team all-conference type, you know, category, you know, when you look back at season's end, if he can stay healthy these next 3 weeks. So really happy for him, not only for what it meant that week as the Big 12 Player of the Week, but what it'll mean at the end of the season, too. But what it means for Kansas football overall, it's a very similar trajectory to Mark Mangino's second year, going from 2-10 to a bowl berth. And in that case, you know, it ended up 6-7, losing to Phillip Rivers. That's how long ago it's been, at NC State and the Tangerine Bowl. But the difference is, you know, this bowl eligibility comes with 3 weeks to go, and this Kansas team feels like they could win 7 or 8 games before the regular season is done. So really excited about that. And I would just say that, you know, we had some tough breaks on timing when we caught certain opponents. Mm-hmm. Like we got to face Oklahoma just as they were getting Dylan Gabriel back. Same story with Chapin and Baylor. Like, the quarterback was coming back just in time for Kansas. Well, we caught a break this time with no Spencer Sanders, and it was very evident that, you know, that their backup situation with a redshirt freshman and a true freshman behind Sanders was not what Kansas has. And isn't it wild that, you know, Kansas football and K-State football has much better two-deep quarterback depth than Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. And it was glaringly different how good backups were. And obviously, in this case, Frank L., he was thrust into the fire. And Jason Bean started 9 games a year ago. He's been starting the last 3 games. I get it. There's an experience differential. But, I mean, he throws 2 picks on the first 2 drives, and it sets the tone for the entire day. Kansas wound up having 4 takeaways as a defense. And so just a lot to be proud of there with the way the Kansas defense capitalized on an ideal matchup, you know, one that we hadn't had for a few weeks. And that's kind of the nature of the business this time of year when you get into November. And so it's a credit to Kansas that they've been able to not only build and cultivate such quarterback depth, but keep a guy like Jason Bean after he wasn't named starter, when in this era of transfer portal being the popular place to bounce off to for greener pastures, Kansas was able to keep him in the fold, and it may have saved their season because they did. And that's something that I think we'll look back on years from now and say, wow, how spoiled and blessed were we, an embarrassment of riches at the quarterback position, when some of the perennial powers in this league, quite frankly, were screwed once they got past their first guy. There's got to be a better way to phrase it than that, but I think that's what Oklahoma fans and Oklahoma State fans would tell you, that, you know, when their respective Dylan Gabriel and Spencer Sanders were out, how do we now have more depth, and how does Kansas have a better situation? And, you know, Texas Tech's another example. They've used 3 different quarterbacks this season trying to get it to work, and we've just been really fortunate that we've got 2 very capable guys there.
We're talking Brian Haney, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, and life and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt at 118 North Melon Boulevard. Call him at 738-5701. You mentioned Texas Tech up next. Just some brief thoughts about that game. And obviously, it's a situation, like you said, where KU can pick up some more wins here, maybe get a better bowl game than what people might have anticipated.
Yeah, that's what's at stake for us. You know, what's at stake for them is the fact that they need to win 2 of their last 3 to be bowl eligible and Joey McGuire's first season. And he's done a great job. They've been 4-1 at home. Their pass rush is amongst the best in the conference, and one kid in particular amongst the best in the country. So we'll look to see the offensive line of Kansas protect Jason Bean or Jalen Daniels, whoever's back there. And I would expect Jason gets the start just coming off the big win last week. But I know Jalen's getting closer and closer by the day. So we'll see. But what does run blocking look like against this Tech defensive front? We certainly don't expect Devin Neal to repeat 334 yards total offense, but you'd like to see him carry some of that momentum over. You'd like to see the Kansas offense be able to sustain some longer drives to keep the Tech offense off the field, because they like to run up tempo and run a ton of plays. And we saw what that did to the Kansas defense in Norman against an up-tempo team that ran 100 plays and kind of ran us into the ground on a hot day. So that won't be the conditions in a night game in November in Lubbock in terms of the heat and all that, but they would like to get a lot of plays in. And so how the Kansas defense does in getting off the field and what the Kansas offense does in staying on the field to sustain some longer drives, I think is going to go a long way in determining this one.
All right, we're going to shift to men's basketball now. Open the season there on Monday night against Omaha. A nice win for the team there. As you look back at that one, Grady Dick, his first game officially as a Jayhawk. I know he had the exhibition contest, but 23 points, went 4 of 6 from 3. What a game for the freshman. And Jalen Wilson had a double-double with 19 and 11. You know, 5 guys in double figures, including the Texas Tech transfer, Kevin McCullough there. Just your first impressions on this Kansas men's basketball team. Obviously, an opponent in Omaha that is not the greatest of caliber, but still a good chance to go out there and showcase what they've got, defending their national championship here this year.
Well, Grady was outstanding. He was head-turning in a way that we haven't seen in quite some time. It had me scrambling to look up best rookie debuts ever, and the ones that came to mind for me were Josh Selby's 21 points versus USC, which was actually 8-9 games into the year because of the suspension he served at the start of the season, but it was his first game. He hit a go-ahead 3 inside a minute, which probably makes his debut the best because it's a tight game, major conference opponent. Xavier Henry, you'll recall, had a 27-point debut versus Hofstra. And then Quentin Grimes had a 21-point debut with 6 threes in Indy versus Michigan State in the Champions Classic in his debut. So we'll probably put that ahead of Grady, too, just based on the venue and the opponent, the stage and the setting and all that. But still, I mean, 9 of 13, 4 of 6 from 3. I thought he made some great plays defensively, too. I mean, this is one of the all-time great rookie debuts and cannot be overlooked. So certainly pleased with progress he's made, particularly on the defensive end of the floor. I mean, he came in a great shooter with a reputation for being a great shooter coming in, but his buy-in to the excellence that Bill Self demands on the defensive end has produced leaps and bounds in his own defensive progress here in recent weeks. So I'm excited to see the complete player he's turning into. And Bill Self talked about it on Hawk Talk the other night. He said, he asked Grady, do you want to be known as a scorer or a player? Do you want to be known as just a shooter or a complete player? And he obviously said, I want to be a complete player. And so coach has coached him tough, man. He's been demanding and asking him, you know, to do things, you know, beyond what he's been challenged to do up to now. And he's taken that hard coaching and really thrived with it. So not a finished product by any means. This is just one game in. But he's further along than most freshmen are. And that's a product of being supremely talented to begin with, but also willing to, you know, be challenged. Because some of these kids, let's just call it like it is, Dusty. I mean, some of these kids have never been coached a fraction as hard as they're going to get when they get here. And the level of competition and what's expected of them and demanded of them from the head coach, it can break some guys down in ways that they don't respond as well. Grady's responded really well, and that's why you're seeing him entrusted with so much right out the gate. And yeah, he'll still have growing pains like any freshman will. You know, it's not like he's, you know, a polished four-year product, but I think he's a lot further ahead of the curve than most every other freshman we've seen come through here for quite some time, because he came in with a good head start, but he's really made the most of the coaching he's received since arriving in the summer.
You move on now again with North Dakota State coming up tonight. This is one of three more games that Norm Roberts will be coaching, as Bill Self and Curtis Townsend still sidelined with the suspension. But North Dakota State's a team that's 0-1, but they did lose to number 10 Arkansas in their opener. I know just hearing from Coach Roberts talking about the matchup, I know that their size is a bit of a concern coming up tonight, right?
It is, because Omaha didn't have a true five, and they've got a couple of guys in their starting lineup that are 6'10", 6'11", one of which can be a stretch option that steps out, hits threes even at that height. So that's going to be a concern for Kansas. It'll be a much more interior-oriented game because of their personnel. So I'll be curious to see how the Jayhawks do with that. Obviously, it was great to see Ernest Uday as a lob catcher and rim finisher last week and earlier this week, and the first two glimpses we've had of him. But he's far from, you know, a polished product himself, still working on his post moves, still in some regard the blank canvas for Coach Roberts and Coach Self to paint on when it comes to his offensive skill set. And so consequently, you know, you want to see him wall up and be a big defender, a rim protector, shot alterer, that kind of thing, and then the offense will come in time. But Zubi Ejiofor is going to play you know, a bigger role as the season goes on for Kansas in the post. And then Zach Clements hasn't shown me a ton yet that he's significantly better than what he was a year ago. And that's not to say he won't get there. We just haven't seen it kind of unleashed yet. But those are your three. That's it. Because Cam Martin's still going to be out for another few weeks with his shoulder injury. And so it's pretty thin in the post. The good news is you're more athletic than you've been the last couple of seasons in the post. Because, you know, David McCormick, by the end of his career, we talked about, you know, 3 hours a day of treatment just to be able to run up and down the floor based on the injuries he was dealing with his foot and his knee and everything else he was going through. Now you see a guy like Ernest running around out there with a 7'4 wingspan and a 6'11 frame and pogo sticks in his sneakers, and you're thinking, holy moly, that's what we like when it comes to athletic rim protectors. That's Udoka-like. And so, you know, I think Kansas fans just need to be patient as he develops, you know, more of a polished offensive array, more than just being a lob catcher. Because once he does get that aspect of his game more established, look out. The sky's the limit for this young man. He's definitely a pro. He's definitely an all-Big 12 type guy eventually. Maybe not this season, but by year two, year three, I mean, he's got that type of ceiling. So we're excited, and I think it'll be a good test for them to face a couple of Twin Tower type guys tonight. Not that we're going to put them in the Duncan Robinson category with that nickname, Twin Towers, but my point is a pair of bigger guys that will challenge them more on the glass. Because if you go back to Monday, KJ Adams had 9 rebounds, 8 of which on the offensive end. he was getting everything. And that's awesome. I love to see an athlete like that be so aggressive. But he was also jumping over 6'6", dudes. It's going to be tougher tonight. So we'll be curious to see what that looks like.
I'm a Spurs fan, so I appreciate the Duncan and Robinson reference for sure. We're talking to Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt at 118 North Mill Boulevard or call him at 738-5701. All right, we're looking kind of to the future for KU as well. They signed three men's basketball recruits yesterday to letters of intent on Marco Jackson from New Jersey, two Texas guards, both 6'4", Chris Johnson and Jamari McDowell. What do you know about this class, and what do you expect to see from them?
Well, all wing players, so that's obviously reflecting off what you got in this previous class with two bigs in Zuby and Ernest that you expect to be here for at least a couple of seasons each, and in Zuby's case, he'll probably be here for four. And so they went heavy with the guards. Could they add another big through the portal or otherwise? Absolutely. But these are three core wing players that I think Bill has different aspects of each's game that he's excited about. But we're talking about high-level talent. In Johnson's case, rated as high as number 24 by ESPN. In the case of El Marco, his highest ranking was 18th by 24/7 Sports. And then, even you go down to McDowell, he's no slouch either. We're talking about number 42 by 24/7 Sports. I always look at who did they pick Kansas over. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is what impresses me more so than a number, because the numbers sometimes can be skewed. In the case of McDowell, Texas A&M and Xavier were probably our toughest competition to get him. But when you look at Johnson, he had Texas A&M, Texas, Auburn, Arkansas, Houston, who's been a recent Final Four program. And in the case of El Marco Jackson, again, Chris Beard in Texas, Villanova, Miami, Notre Dame. So some good schools that we beat out to get these guys. They all bring different things in their bag of tricks that I can't wait to hear Bill Self talk about once he's fully back and we can talk to him about signing day. But I know they're pleased, and yet the class won't be finished entirely because, again, in this day and age of the portal, I think Kansas has clearly worked it well these last two seasons with Remy Martin and now Kevin McCullough. And I would expect that they keep their options open in the spring period as well.
Brian Haney, again, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, with this time for the off-the-wall question. I just saw this kind of looking for a question to ask, and I thought about this weekend. I was rolling through doing some shopping at a place, and I found this Christmas sweater. I know it's early to be talking about Christmas for some people. Some people it's not, but I found this ugly Christmas sweater, basically, but it had Chevy Chase, the Christmas Vacation logo on it, and it lit up and everything, right? And I'm like, gotta get it. It's too good of a deal not to get. So a lot of people could be embarrassed by wearing something like that. So for you, what's the most embarrassing thing you've ever worn that you can recall? Like, you're just in a situation, you're wearing something like, I don't want to be here right now, but this is what I have to wear.
You know what? I'm the type of personality, I don't mind being a little bit goofy and self-deprecating, and so it takes a lot to really get me embarrassed wearing something, because usually if it's eye-catching and head-turning in an embarrassing way, you're not being laughed at. They're laughing with you because you look ridiculous. So we've done all kinds of props up on stage and skits and stuff for various charities that I've dressed up as different themes, but none that ever got me especially embarrassed. I have to come back to you on that one.
I guess
my meter of tolerating that's maybe higher than more, because I like to poke fun at myself all the time.
So yeah,
it takes a lot to get me truly embarrassed, but. Yeah, I'm trying to think some of the better costumes we've had over the years. Cause, like, for Rock Chalk Choice Awards, for example, which is the annual awards show that our athletic department throws for our students, it used to be themed every year. One year it was Game of Thrones. And so I did three different Game of Thrones characters where I'm wearing basically, like, tights and a sleeveless shirt and a wig to look like Jon Snow. And I'm jumping around with a sword in my head, and I know my arms are pasty white, and I'm probably not as cut as most of the athletes watching me, but I don't care, because, hey, this is for the sake of a good laugh and that kind of thing. So it takes a lot to get me embarrassed, but that's probably one of my more favorite ones, because we literally had three different costume changes in the back. Thankfully, I didn't have to be Daenerys Targaryen by the end of the day. It was only male characters. That might have gotten me embarrassed, but I did all the male characters, the main ones in Game of Thrones, and we had fun with that.
Oh, right. Yeah, I've never quite gone that all out with any costumes or anything like that. I went to a movie convention in May, and I was like, I don't have the guts to dress up yet. So we'll see if I ever get to that point. So, Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, with us. Thanks a lot for taking the time here today. We will hear you tonight, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip with North Dakota State.
Thanks, Dusty. Looking forward to it, bud. Take care.
Brian Haney again with us, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. Again, that's brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt at 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701.